fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Obviously, if you missed it, yesterday was the debut of Season 20 of The Ultimate Fighter, the reality show that has taken a bit of a pinch in the arm, a punch in the arm, if you'd like to say. It's one of those situations where people were getting stagnated by it, but not this season. I got a feeling that this season is going to be fantastic as they are showcasing 16 of the world's best strawweight ladies, this first show to me was absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Congratulations to Canadian Randa Marcos Thomas. She did a fantastic job taking out Tisha Torres, who many, including yours truly, had pegged to perhaps win this show. Tisha Torres is one of the best in the world. Randa, in my opinion, is getting up there, and she proved that she's up there in that fight there. So we'll see how much further she goes along on the show. Another one of the girls, or two girls, that are potentially the favorites to win. Carla Esparza, she is when the UFC basically brought over the Invicta Fighting Championship ladies, she was the champion in the strawweight division. I had a chance to catch up with her during my time in Sacramento. We'll get her thoughts on a variety of issues in terms of mixed martial arts for the ladies, herself, the show, what we can expect from her, as well as Jessica Penne, who's naturally a 105-pounder. And for those that missed Invicta FC about a week or two ago, Michelle Watterson, the karate hottie, defended her title. That she defeated Jessica Penne to become the world champ. So at the same time, Jessica Penne was also in Sacramento. I was lucky enough to sit down and interview her to get her thoughts on the show, how she got into mixed martial arts. So we'll hear from both ladies. What I'll do is I'll alternate the answers, because the questions that I did ask both of them were sort of similar, because we were putting together features for UFC Central, the television side. We also caught up with Travis Brown, UFC heavyweight, who's been sidelined, obviously, with the injuries from his Fabrizio Verdum fight. And if you missed it, while I was down there, there were some tweets that were going out. Some of the UFC PR staff were in the room when I was doing the interview. We actually set up in the UFC because they had a massive room, which had ample space for us guys with the UFC Central team to set up and do our interviews. So Dave Schaller, who was the, I believe, senior director VP for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, was in the room, and he was sort of eavesdropping on the conversation while he was doing his work. And he was, very happy with what Travis was saying and how the interview was going. So he kind of hinted out, took a picture, sent it out there to say, look, man, there's some really intriguing stuff there. And the interview was actually really, really good, and I've got clips here that I will throw to later on the show. But the first things first, The Ultimate Fighter 20 did debut on Sportsnet 360. It's getting rave reviews. Some people like the promotion ahead of time. Some people don't like the way the ladies have been promoted, be it, the same thing where people are saying it's sort of sexist. You're showing these ladies as beautiful, and then you're showing them as killers. Some people like it, some people don't like it. Some of the ladies really enjoy it. They like getting dolled up and then showcasing the fact that they're also, badass ladies in the cage, while others are like, I may not like that. And listen, to each their own, in my opinion. I don't think the UFC forced anyone to do that. And if you don't like it, speak up. That's just one of those things. That's just general in life. If I don't like something that's going on with my career or my life, I'm going to speak up and say, look, I am not comfortable doing this. But for the most part, what I'm noticing is people really enjoy those promos. They thought it was kind of, part cheeky, part cute, part, hey, you know what? They are beautiful ladies. If you look at some of this cast, they are some beautiful ladies, and they are butt kickers, let me tell you that. There are people that are taking shots at them saying, look, they don't have much experience, but, it's mixed martial arts in general, for the ladies, it's still evolving, it's still growing. There isn't as much depth as we saw in men's divisions. If you go back to the first early UFCs, you can say these guys were terrible, they had no experience, but it was a development. It was the evolution of the fighters. Eventually, they did get enough fights to have really good records and have really good careers. And the same thing, in my opinion, is happening right now in mixed martial arts with the ladies. So to go back, like I said, I spoke with Carla Esparza and I spoke with Jessica Penne. What I will do is give you some of their answers to some of the questions that I did ask them. And you'll notice some are similar, some are drastically different. Carla Esparza, for example, she doesn't say much. She's very quiet. She lets her fighting do the talking, and as does Jessica Penne. But Jessica Penne opens up a little more when she gives up her answers. It's to each their own. I thought both interviews were fantastic. I had a really good time interviewing both the ladies. But we'll kick things off right now with Carla Esparza. I asked her specifically, you know, how and why did you get into mixed martial arts?
I got into mixed martial arts without knowing I got into mixed martial arts. I started wrestling in high school, went to college and wrestled. I started doing boxing and jiu-jitsu in the summer, Muay Thai, just for fun. And before I knew it, you know, I was doing all the components of MMA, and I just kind of fell into it.
There you have it, Carla Esparza. And I asked the same question to Jessica Penny.
I got into mixed martial arts kind of by a natural progression of things. I feel like everything happens for a reason. I just feel like I was really led down the path to this sport, and I never really thought of it as a career or being a professional fighter. I just really enjoyed training, and I've always been into athletics and excelled in them, and I was looking for something else to, you know, put my competitive drive into, and I found jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, and then it kind of evolved into MMA, and it kind of took off from there. So it was a really natural progression of things, and I just fell in love with the sport.
And one of the things about ladies getting into the sport is always, you know, one of the questions I get asked all the time, and it's more of a mainstream question, not a hardcore fan question, and it comes from various demographics, you know, these women, why are they fighting? There's so much that they could do with their lives. Why do they want to get punched in the face? You know, some of them could be models. Some of them could do anything they want and all that jazz. And my answer, you know, has always been the same. Well, why not? So I posed the question both to Carla Esparza and Jessica Penne. Why would you choose mixed martial arts when people are always thinking, hey, there's other things you could do with your life?
I would definitely say there's, you know, a lot of, like, people who, you know, think, hey, you know, you're a girl. Why would you want to go get hit in the face? Why would you want to go get beat up for a living? But the only thing I can say to that is there's a feeling fighting that you don't get from anything else. I think it takes a certain type of personality to fight, and the people who do love it, and I love it.
That's Carla Esparza. And what about Jessica Penne?
It's just, you know what, I just feel like the sport really chooses you. You will either, you know, go into it and become a fighter, or you'll get chewed up and spit out. I just feel like the sport really chooses you. And it's not for everyone, and there are a lot of high highs and low lows, but it is absolutely worth it, and it's an amazing sport.
So there's Jessica Penne. The sport chose her. The sport chooses people. You got Carla Esparza, who absolutely loves it. But for those that have been following the sport for a very long time, it's no different than any other thing you do in life, whether you want to, you know, you want to be physically fit, you want to work out with the weights, you want to train Muay Thai, boxing, jiu-jitsu, anything you do in life, a lot of it is mental. You could go through the physical aspects, but mixed martial arts, you know, even you know, whenever I get a chance to train, I've been training for quite some time, not as often as I'd like to, but in terms of training, it takes a toll onto you physically, but it's more mental. The mental part of it has to be strong. So I asked the girls, from a lady's perspective, do you find mixed martial arts far more physical, or is it more a mental thing? Here's Carla Esparza.
I would say that MMA is a combination of the mental and the physical. If you're super tough and you can take a hit and you go in there and you give it your all, if you don't have any skills, you'll probably do okay, you know, just out of toughness, and vice versa. If you have all the skills in the world and you're, you know, amazing technically, but you have no heart, it's not in here, then, you know, you're never going to be a champion.
And that's coming from a champion, Carla Esparza, and a former champ, potentially future champ, Jessica Penne. Her thoughts on whether mixed martial arts is more physical or mental?
I think it's absolutely a very mental sport. I mean, I've never been the biggest or strongest. I mean, I'm a 105er coming up in weight, so I have never relied on my strength, but I have relied on my composure and my athleticism and my technique, so I feel like it is a very mental sport.
Now, you're talking about two ladies, Jessica Penne and Carla Esparza, that have made it to the elite of the sport now with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. They're on the big show, being showcased on the Ultimate Fighter 20 every Wednesday on Sportsnet 360 and, of course, globally. But one of the things that I come across all the time are parents coming up to me and saying, look, what should I do with my child? My child wants to, you know, I want to put him into martial arts. Should I put him into karate or taekwondo or judo? And my response all the time is, well, if you want to teach your kid, perhaps mixed martial arts is the best thing to offer. And I don't mean mixed martial arts where they're grounding and pounding and doing all the crazy stuff, but a mixed martial arts school which will teach the child honor and discipline, how to defend themselves standing up, how to defend themselves in the clinch, how to defend themselves on the ground. Make it fun. But when you're asking professional mixed martial artists, you do get a variety of answers, because remember, they're the ones that are in the cage doing what they have to do. So I asked the two ladies, Carla and Jessica, if someone came up to you, whether it was a mom or a dad, and they said, look, I have a 5 or 6 year old daughter, a 15 year old daughter that wants to get into some sort of martial arts training, would you advise mixed martial arts, or in general, what would you say to them?
I would say if someone had a young girl who wanted to get into MMA, I would just tell them, start in one thing, see how you like it, get good at that one thing. Because for me, it's like, you can start with MMA, but I think that having one background that you're like really strong with, especially wrestling, which I think is the best, I think that's a great way to start.
Well, there's no bias there from Carla Sparza, who's a fantastic wrestler. Obviously, wrestling is what she would recommend. And in my opinion, no ifs, ands, or buts. I think wrestling is absolutely fantastic as a base for anything in life, especially martial arts in general, mixed martial arts for sure. But what about Jessica Penny? What does she think? What advice would she give to parents if they came up to her and said, hey, I want my daughter to get into mixed martial arts?
I would personally tell them that the sport is still in its infancy, and it is progressing at a great rate finally, but it takes a lot of hard work and dedication. And I feel like if your kids want to get into it, I would say start them in traditional martial arts and kind of see how that develops. But throwing your kid into MMA is just, I think it's a really difficult sport. I mean, I love it and I can't imagine doing anything else, but it has not been an easy road. And I would say that just, take it gradually.
There you have it. Jessica Penne's thoughts about, put the child in traditional martial arts first, which is great. I mean, I've got two nephews that are doing karate right now. I think it's fantastic. Personally, when it comes time, and I know my son's going to be a different breed than most other kids, because he is, quote unquote, Shodan Joe's son. So he may be under a little bit of pressure to be some sort of fighter. And if he wants to be a fighter, great. Will I advise him to be a fighter? Probably not. But if he wants to do it, he'll have daddy's 100% support. I just want him to as a parent, I want my son to be able to recognize situations when, to never get into a fight in the schoolyard, to recognize the signs of bullying, to understand that if you are put in a situation where self-defense is mandatory, I would much rather have my son understand fully that if he needs to defend himself in the stand-up realm, clinch, or ground game, he is fully capable of defending himself and potentially holding down a bully and getting a teacher or someone else involved or adult there to make sure that he is safe afterwards. Everyone's got different opinions. You, if you're a parent, I'm sure you have a different opinion. Hit me up at Showdown Joe on Twitter or on Facebook at Showdown Joe with your thoughts. I'd love to hear other parents' thoughts on this. Me personally, I would like my son, and if I ever have any other kids, to understand the full realm of martial arts and self-defense training, to recognize bullying. And I'm sure we'll talk about this a little later on in future podcasts and radio shows of UFC Central, but it is what it is. All right, let's go back to the ladies right now and talk about the Ultimate Fighter. First things first, one of the questions I asked for Carla Sparza when she was selected on the show, she was pretty much a given, but obviously being the champion from Invicta, having to relinquish that title and now moving over to the Ultimate Fighter you're in that 16 lady bracket to see who's going to emerge victorious and get that shot at that UFC title. I asked her flat out, look, you walking into this house, you got a huge bullseye on your back. What's that like?
I definitely felt that going in as a champ, I had a bullseye on my back and I had a lot of expectations on me, so that was rough.
Yes, rough to say the least for the former Invicta strawweight champion, but the show is now done. It's been recorded. It's now being showcased around the world every Wednesday. You can catch it on Sportsnet 360. So, Carla Esparza, I asked her specifically, as well as Jessica Payne, but I asked Carla first, summarize your experience those 6 weeks in that house under that fishbowl as part of the Ultimate Fighter cast.
I would definitely say there was ups and downs. It was craziness. It was fun. There were some sad times, but overall, I had a great experience.
And what about Jessica Penny? Her overall, summarize the experience, what it was like to be on The Ultimate Fighter for 6 weeks trapped in that house.
It all seems kind of like a blur at this point. I'm sure that I'll look back on it in a few months very fondly, but it was a very overwhelming experience. I mean, I'm extremely happy that I went through it, but I'm extremely happy that it's over. It was really difficult.
So So just to reiterate, remember, I had these two ladies at UFC 177 in Sacramento. They were made available to myself by the UFC PR staff just to get their thoughts on a variety of different things. So that was, they were fresh off the show. The show was about to kick off a couple weeks later, which happened yesterday, Wednesday, on Sportsnet 360 and globally. But the one question I always ask people that were on The Ultimate Fighter, and you always get a variety of different answers, and specifically some love it, some hated it. The real question is, if you would do it, would you do it all over again? Do you have it in you to do it again, or you're like, you know what, this absolutely sucked, I would never do it again? So Carla Esparza, I ask you again, would you do this again?
I would do it again, but it definitely have to be for a belt.
Understandable. If you're going to get something like that done, at the very end, there has to be something involved. Now, I mean, we talked about it on the UFC Central television side. You know, it used to be just, hey, you get on The Ultimate Fighter, you compete for the six-figure contract, and to be considered someone in the big show. You finally made it to the big show. But now, with this cast here, I wonder if the UFC will do it in the future. Well, they can, actually, with the champions that they have. But the fact of the matter is, she would do it again only if there's a title involved. And I wonder if she makes it all the way to the end. And like I said, she is one of the favorites to go all the way here. But Jessica Penne, former champion with Invicta, would you do it all over again?
I would not.
Why?
Ever. I'm the kind of person that needs a lot of alone time. And, I mean, you know, I think that I did the best that I could under the circumstances, but it was definitely pretty stressful for me. Just being the kind of person that likes a lot of alone time, there was not much of that. I could sneak in a little bit here and there, but just always kind of on the go, and the tension and stress in the house was just really difficult.
So each person has their own individual way of dealing with things. And I know personally, there have been guys that have made it to the UFC roster, some who haven't made it to the UFC roster, that totally turn down any opportunity given to them, or even simply trying out for the Ultimate Fighter show, because just like Jessica Penne, they need their alone time. They can't deal with being under a fishbowl. Some people do have it in them. You know what? I want to be showcased. I will do whatever I can to get on that show. So each person has a different view of what that life would be like. And I actually asked both of the girls, you know, what was your perception leading into the show, and did it change after the show? In essence, did you get any advice saying, you know what, this is how I think it's going to be, or this is what it's going to be, and then you went through it, and was it the same? Was it completely different? So, to Carla Esparza, what was your perception leading into the show, and what is it afterwards?
I think everyone goes into The Ultimate Fighter with a different experience, and they come out with a different experience. So, a lot of what people told me were true, and going out of it, I would say that it's totally unique and different. It's nothing you can really prepare for.
Which is crazy, considering that this is the 20th season. I'm pretty sure you can prepare for it, but having never experienced it, and she has, I'll take her word for it, to be honest with you. But what about Jessica Penne? What was her perception going in versus her, you know, the reality of coming out?
Really excited and nervous and anxious and just all of these emotions. And then when I got into the gym on the first day of team selections, that multiplied by 1,000, and I was just so overwhelmed with everything and just so nervous and anxious and just really overwhelmed by my feelings. And about 2 weeks in, I was like, yeah, I'm good, I'm done. But you just have to really keep grinding it out and stay focused. And I really learned a lot about myself in the house, and I think I did really well, considering all of the obstacles that I had to surmount, but it was overwhelming at times.
And then one thing that always comes to mind is, you know, when you spend that much time with 15 other people, do you make friendships out of there? Inevitably, being in there for so long, you're probably going to make enemies or people that you just dislike. And the one thing I want to share with everybody is when I was done with Jessica Penne and then Carla Esparza came into the room, they both hugged immediately. Who knows what happened on the show? Maybe they had a good time, bad time. I don't know. But the natural assumption is, wow, they may have gotten along very well. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But at the same time, you could just saw a genuine friendship. You shared something extremely close that not many people, or only a relatively few amount of people, have experienced being in that type of situation. So I asked them both, you know, Carla, Jessica, did you make new friends? Did you have friends going in? You know, did you make new enemies? Is there a rivalry going? And then, you know, Carla had a good answer, as did Jessica. Here's Carla Esparza first.
I walked in with friends and I walked out with friends. There's people I didn't like so much, you know, leaving there, but in the end, it is what it is. We came there to fight, so Hey.
And that's the truth of the matter. They're there to fight. They're there to become the next champion, or the first ever strawweight champion under the Ultimate Fighting Championship banner. And we heard from Jessica Penny a little early how she needs a lot of alone time. It's difficult for her to deal with certain things. So imagine her, what it's like for her to be in that situation where she wants to be alone, but she's always mic'd up. There's always cameras around. You don't get any free time or any personal time. You don't have time to be alone. It's a very difficult situation. So for a person like her, did you make new friends? Is there enemies? Is there rivalries? Here's what she had to say.
I was pleasantly surprised that I made some really cool connections in the house. I came into the house knowing a couple of the girls, and we kind of built on our relationships, you know, inside the house. And I was really happy that I did make some really cool connections. It takes me a long time to kind of open up and kind of put myself out there, so I didn't make those connections until kind of towards the end of the season, but you know, better late than never. So it was really cool. I mean, you have all of these females that are competing for the same thing, and they all understand what you're going through and what you've been through. So I mean, it's kind of no surprise that you find some common ground and understand each other and support each other.
So it sounds to me like, you know, as I mentioned earlier, when Jessica and Carla saw each other in the room, in the UFC PR room where we're doing the interviews, they immediately kind of smiled and hugged each other and were so excited to see each other. And it sounds like Jessica may have gone through a roller coaster ride of emotions throughout the show. As she mentioned, it was difficult for her in the beginning, the first couple weeks or so. And I guess then she settled in, and then, you know, the final. So I guess it could be broken down into a third. The first couple of weeks were very difficult for her emotionally. The second week third to fourth week, maybe she settled in, and then the final 2 weeks, she basically could have let it go and say, you know what, there's no point in being like this. We're all here for the same thing, and might as well make some friends out of this. That's what it sounds like it may have happened, but it is a reality show, so who knows what actually took place on the show. So with the show over, I asked both the ladies, what advice would you give to potential future teammates or friends or any lady or guy that would come up to you? What advice would you give to them if they came to you and said, look, I've just been cast on The Ultimate Fighter. I'm about to leave home and be gone for 6 weeks away from my family. I'm going to be stuck in that house under that fishbowl, that microscope. What advice do you have for me? Here's Carla Esparza.
If someone told me I'm going to go into The Ultimate Fighter, I'd be like, there's nothing you can do to prepare. Just go in there, try not to stress out, try not to have drama, if you can help it, which sometimes you can't, and just enjoy the experience because you'll never have another one like it.
And that's the thing, like anything in life, seize the moment, enjoy it. And you've heard other coaches or other people that have been on the show always say, man, listen, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. The majority of time, it's probably going to suck being here, but you have no idea what the end result will do for you. Make sure you take advantage of it. Take advantage of the training. Take advantage of the experience. You make friends for life. You might make enemies for life, but the bottom line is there's a bond that is always shared whenever any of these contestants get onto The Ultimate Fighter. What about Jessica Penne? What advice would she give to anybody that would come up to her and say, look, I've just been cast on The Ultimate Fighter. What advice do you have for me?
I would say do it. I mean, because, you know, I'm just fresh out of the house, so my feelings are still a little bit jumbled, but it's an amazing opportunity that you just can't pass up. It's an amazing experience. It's once in a lifetime. So I would tell them to do it, but I would just, you know, tell them that no matter how prepared you think you are, you really just don't know what you're getting yourself into until you're in it. And once you're in it, there's no way out.
That's right, no way out. All right, it's all said and done. What can viewers, what do the ladies have to say in terms of viewership? What do the viewers on Sportsnet 360, Fox Sports 1 down the States, and globally, even those on UFC Fight Pass, what can viewers look forward to on this season of The Ultimate Fighter? Here's Carla Esparza.
I think viewers should tune in because it's an amazing season. There was amazing fights. And, you know, it just, watch it. It was awesome. And I know it's going to come out great.
Now, it may not sound like she was overly excited, but you should have seen the look in her eye when she was answering that question, or at least, you know, the reaction afterwards, because she lit up like a Christmas tree, and it kind of gave me a glimpse of, oh boy, this is going to be a lot of fun, as if there wasn't some sort of foreshadowing of putting these 16 ladies in the house and what to possibly expect, because there's never been an Ultimate Fighter season with just ladies. We've seen half and half, half men, half ladies, but this is going to be absolutely fantastic, and she lit up. As for Jessica Penne, here's what she had to say.
Viewers can look forward to some amazing fights, some amazing personalities in the house, the, you know, top of the top level female fighters all living under one roof, all fighting each other and training with each other. And it's just, there were some really fun times in the house, and there were some really stressful times, and just so many emotions, and it was kind of a whirlwind, and I'm really excited to see how everything comes out.
There you have it. A little glimpse from Carla Esparza and Jessica Penne of what to expect in this season of The Ultimate Fighter. All right, coming up after the break, I was trying to find a clip. I had the UFC Central guys all trying to find a clip for me specifically about my conversation with Dana White about 2 years ago about The Ultimate Fighter. I'll try and get it after the break. If I can't, I will explain to you. But also after the break, UFC heavyweight Travis Brown, who I was able to spend some really good time with in Sacramento. What a great guy. And he's on the comeback. His opponent, if you haven't heard, is, I'll tell you after the break. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, The Ultimate Fighter Season 20, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Special thanks again to Carla Esparza and Jessica Penne. I forgot to mention it during the last block there. Please follow these two ladies on Twitter. Carla Esparza's Twitter is at Carla Esparza 1, and Jessica Penne is just her name, first name and last name, at Jessica Penne, two N's in Penne. Two absolutely fantastic ladies, and one thing I really like about them is, you know, some people don't know how this works over the years, but you get to interview certain folks, but then after that, they don't give you the time of day, they don't say hi to you, and that's rare. I'll be honest with you, it's extremely rare, because the vast majority of fighters under the Ultimate Fighting Championship banner, even a Bellator or 1FC, it doesn't matter, MFC, it doesn't matter what organization, they're all, you know, most of them are generally cordial, they will always say hi, really, really cool. Sometimes you do get the odd person that's just going to be a cold shoulder, they're just in there and out there, they never want to see you again until the next time they have to fight. It is what it is. But in terms of Carla and Jessica, two fantastic ladies, every single, because I interviewed them the very first day that we were there, so there was a whole bunch of days afterwards, I think it was the Wednesday, and we still had Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, as well as Sunday, when we all ended up leaving and going home. Every day, every time, every interaction was fantastic. Hey, how was your night? Hey, how was your, you know, how was lunch, dinner? What's going on today? They were absolutely amazing. I cannot say enough good things about them. So again, please follow them online. Give them some love on Twitter, Instagram. I know for a fact on Twitter, Carla Esparza is at Carla Esparza 1, and of course, Jessica Penne at Jessica Penne, two N's in Penne. The one clip I was hoping to play for you, unfortunately, we could not dig it up. I gave the UFC Central Television site very short notice. I was hoping they could find the clip because I wanted to kick off the show with it. And it just wanted to show you how bad and how much I really believed in The Ultimate Fighter as an avenue to promote women's mixed martial arts. About 2 years ago, I was interviewing Dana, one of my many interviews with Dana, I asked him, it was just a random question. I said, hey, Dana, what are your thoughts on using The Ultimate Fighter as a potential avenue or medium to promote women's mixed martial arts? This is long before he even, kind of met Ronda Rousey or he knew who Ronda Rousey was, but women's MMA was nowhere near where it is today. And he basically laughed and balked at the idea. I thought, no chance, no way. And after the interview, I said, look, man, I think it's a good idea. If you're ever going to do it, I really think you should consider it. He's like, it's just not going to happen, dude. I can't see it happening. Then he met Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey completely surprised him, put a big smile on his face, and he realized, you know what, this is a potential star here. And then, about a year later, she's brought into the fold. A couple months after that, she's announced as a coach on The Ultimate Fighter, opposite Misha Tate. So now you got two women coaching on The Ultimate Fighter for a season that is half women, half men. And lo and behold, when they made the announcement that this season, Ultimate Fighter 20, is a season of nothing but 115-pound women that no one's ever heard of, I thought to myself, this is 2 years too, not 2 years too late, but I saw this coming a long time ago. I'm so happy when the UFC did this, so happy that Dana White did this, and Craig Pillage, the producer. I think it's maybe it's not overdue. It's a long time coming, but I'm so happy they made that decision because I really believed a long time ago that this is a great way to promote these women and the fact that at the very end, there is a title on the line. And during the season finale, there will be a title on the line. How amazing is that? We get to see the development of 16 ladies go down to 8, go down to 4, go down to a finale of 2, and then we get to see a world champion. And 13 weeks leading up to it of promotion, which I think is absolutely fantastic, which is just great for the sport of mixed martial arts. Now, speaking of people that I like a lot in the industry, someone I've known over the years for a very long time, and a joker to say the least, but a bad, bad man in the UFC's heavyweight division, Travis Brown. Travis Brown, I'll tell you a quick story. My producer, my associate producer down in Sacramento for the trip was Jimmy Cotton, and we were just sitting outside getting some fresh air because we didn't want to get trapped in the hotel anymore. We're just sitting outside talking about what to do the next day. It must have been around 8, 9 o'clock at night, and one of those limo taxis shows up. And comes up, but we're just off to the side there. And all of a sudden, all I heard was a voice come from when the door opened. I wasn't paying attention, but the door opens, and all I hear is this voice I know very well saying, you know, if you aren't careful, you're going to get double-legged in the street again. And I looked over to my right, and it was Travis Brown smiling ear to ear. For those that don't remember or didn't see the video, I don't even know if we actually showed it on UFC Central. But regardless, we talked about it. We were in Denver one time after the weigh-ins. I think it was the card. It was at Denver. Yeah, I think it was Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard, if I'm not mistaken. But it was that show. We're outside the weigh-ins, and I was just talking to a bunch of Canadian fans that we had ran into. I think they're from Calgary. And next thing you know, I'm in the air, face down, looking at the concrete, thinking to myself, what just happened here? Travis Brown comes around, lifts my left arm up, goes in for a double leg, and picks me up like I was a piece of paper. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, a piece of paper. He picked me up like I was absolutely nothing. Obviously, put me down gently, and we're joking around, and you know, he's kind of still messing around with me, and went in for another one. I put both my double underhooks in, went for a guillotine, and it was like guillotining a bear. Like it was trying to move a bear. It was like no matter how hard I was pressing, I planted myself, used right technique, put my underhooks as high as I could. It's impossible. I mean, the guy's an absolute beast, and he absolutely, you know, jokes around. This other time, one time at an awesome sushi place in Las Vegas called Kaizen, we're sitting there, we're trying to get our seats, and I didn't even see him. He comes from the side again, lifts me up over the maitre d's sort of podium there, and puts me down. Hey, what's up, Showdown? And I thought, my goodness, this guy is an absolute monster. So one of my favorite guys in the game, to say the least. Just a super nice guy. Yes, I am completely tiny next to this guy when we're standing up, but he's a great guy, and every time I see him compete, I'm always smiling ear to ear. Always, obviously want to wish him the best whenever he competes. But in that last fight versus Fabrizio Verdum, he went through a ton of adversity. He had to basically do an introspective and a retrospective in terms of his own life, in terms of his own career, because of the adversity he went through in that fight. So when we had a chance to sit him down in Sacramento, one of the first questions I asked him was specifically, my man, how was life after Fabrizio Verdum?
Just on the road to recovery, you know, come off of that fight, I just needed to do a lot of searching, you know, just physically what I need to get done, mentally, you know, how I need to recover. It's a tough fight.
Very tough fight, to say the least. Obviously, like I mentioned earlier, some adversity in that scrap, getting injured early. So the question I asked him right afterwards was specifically, you know, how did you deal with that adversity, and what do you do moving forward? Because Fabrizio Verdum is obviously no joke. That was a heavyweight contender fight. That was the opportunity for Travis Brown, again, to take his career to a whole new level. He would have been the coach opposite Cain Velasquez on The Ultimate Fighter Latin America. He loses the fight. Verdum gets it. And basically in that scrap there, you know, Travis gets injured. People couldn't figure out what was going on. And we mentioned it on UFC Central, actually live tweeting. We're saying, this is not Travis Brown. Something is going on here. He is battling through some sort of injury. We didn't know what it was. We later find out it was an injury. I'll let him explain it. How did he deal, you know, with that adversity versus Fabrizio Verdum?
The thing that I don't have in this sport is a lot of experience, you know, so something like that happens, and I mean, not a single time in my life has that ever happened to me, first of all. Second of all, you know, if I was playing basketball or something, I'd jump up, roll my ankle, it'd be like, hey, whistle called, guy's hurt, carry him out, da 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 da. You know, to have something like that happen on that level with the guy, you know, across the cage from you, that is, you know, trained to kick your butt, you know, I kind of froze, and unfortunately that happened. Now that I've been through it, I also know myself in that now that I've been through it and something like that happened so early in the fight and I was able to still go out there and, you know, not get knocked out or submitted. And you have to think, man, the arguably the best jiu-jitsu guy in the world in the heavyweight division had me down 3 times on top of me, exactly where he wanted me, and I got out with a broken hand, broken foot. You know, and it was no problem for me to get out. You know, I just took my time and did what I had to do. On the feet, it is where the big discrepancy was, from my movement to willingness to throw to, you know, what the hell is going on? Why does my hand feel like a bag of Rice Krispies? You know what I mean? It's like every time it was moving, you know, all I could hear was snap, crackle, and pop. There's one point during the fight, I remember I caught his kick, and I remember I caught it with my left hand, and I was like, wow, this is the weirdest feeling ever. And that's exactly what was going through my head when I should have just, you know, done like the Karate Kid and swept the leg, you know what I mean? And it was that right there. I watched the fight back for the first time with Coach Edmund, and it was hard for me to talk for like 30 minutes after because I was so upset at myself, you know. I'm better than that and I know it. And broken hand or not, broken foot or not, you know, that is one fight that I want back big time.
And speaking of fights he may want back, Travis Brown is probably thinking Antonio Bigfoot Silva is another scrap that he wants back because early on in that fight, he blows a hamstring, you know, and it's one of those situations he went into that fight as a favorite. Again, it was another opportunity for him to move up the ladder and do very well in the heavyweight division, a contender fight potentially. You know, was this situation similar? The situation that happened with Fabrizio Verdum, was it similar or how does he feel in comparison to that, what happened to him in that belt versus Antonio Silva? Here's what he had to say.
If I'm not injured, if I get hit, I'm okay. You know, I've been hit at times and kind of, you know, whatever, by, you know, Chuck Congo hit me pretty good and Alistair, and I, you know, I kept myself together and I came back because, you know, I have heart. And for me, it's just when I got injured and all of a sudden it's like something's not working. You know what I mean? Now it was like a sense of panic set in, you know, and that's something that I need to control. And that's something that, you know, I'm working with my coaches on controlling is understanding that, you know, I have what it takes to be a champ. You know, I fought for Doom again. I was on the bottom of a jiu-jitsu guy. So I break my hand, freaking take him down and ground and pound him for 5 rounds. You know what I mean? I know I can. I was on the bottom side. You know what I mean? Not even on top, not even in his half guard, you know what I mean? Where I could have been doing damage. I was on the bottom side, you know, working, doing what I was doing. So, you know, we're expanding my skill set, and it's not only physically, because physically I feel like I'm right there, but mentally as well. You know, my mental skill set is what we're developing, you know, building that confidence, having the ability to adjust when we need to adjust and you know, having coaches to give you guidance in the right direction, you know.
And when Travis is saying coaches, he is now referring to Edmund Tarvidian. Hopefully I said that right because I don't want Ronda Rousey to punch me in my face. Edmund, yes, made famous from the, you know, he coaches Ronda Rousey, does all the boxing stuff with her and of course, Jake Ellenberger. Travis is now there, and I asked him, so, you know, in terms of have you officially changed camps? Are you no longer with Team Jackson Winklejohn? And here's what he had to say.
You know, as for now, I'm doing my stand-up there. He's up in Glendale. LA area. I'm in San Diego. You know, as far as working wise, it's you know, it's better for me to train there for now. I haven't made a move. So
contemplating and just trying to figure out.
Yeah, just trying to see where everything fits. You know.
Yeah.
It's just you know, I gotta do what's best for me and my career. So.
So in terms of his career, when is he hoping or when is he thinking, and I asked him specifically before the news came out on his new opponent, which I'll let you know if you haven't heard yet momentarily, but you know, when is he looking to get back into the octagon?
Yeah, so we stepped up training about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, had a little sparring session. Everything was going great. I mean, hitting the pads, my hand was feeling wonderful. No soreness even, no nothing. I get in there and I spar and we're, going back and forth and I dig in for the body and the guy brings his elbow down and just kind of, hit it the wrong way. And, where before, it would have been maybe a little bruise or something. This one, it was like, oh man, like now I can't really train for 3-4 days. You know what I mean? Cause it's that sore and it swole up a little bit. So, we think that like mid September would be good to really start coming in and do full on training, like where it's completely fine. Cause now it's to the point where I'm starting to not think about it again after that happened 4 weeks ago. And I've done it again a couple times. And, it's not being an issue, it's not being a focus of like, sparring, like, oh, I can't do this because, that. So I'm really starting to be able to open up and get there.
So in terms of getting back in the octagon, is there a time frame? Which card does he want to get on? Because obviously I'm talking to him at the end of August. And if he's getting ready to start training in the middle of September, that could be, an 8-12 week camp or 8-10-12 week camp. And that could look like the end of the year, which is obviously a huge show. I think Chris Wyman's on that card there. If not, a couple of weeks later, there's the Anderson Silva. Oh, actually, no, Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz fight is Super Bowl weekend, so that's like end of January, beginning of February. But there's the Anderson Silva Nick Diaz card. So, are those a couple of cards he's hoping to get on?
I'd love to. I mean, Daniel Cormier, John Jones. I know Rondo is kind of. Chris Weidman and Ronda was trying to get on that card. Not trying to, but she had mentioned, fight on that card and because of her injuries and stuff. But that'd be a great card. And I think I'd love to get on there and, steal the show.
And as per our conversation, it was recently announced this week that Travis Brown will be taking on Brendan Schaub at UFC 181 Saturday, December 6th at the Mandalay Bay Event Center, an event that is headlined by the middleweight championship of the world, Chris Weidman defending his title versus Vitor Belfort. So we talked about it. It actually took place, and maybe I should have a conversation with the UFC PR staff because they could have told me, but it is what it is. A lot of fun being in there no matter what. But the bottom line is Travis Brown, with the injury and the time he's had to take off with between other fights, especially with the hamstring injury after Antonio Silva, it has to be frustrating as a heavyweight because, let's be honest, the heavyweight division does not have the depth of other divisions. For example, lightweight, featherweight, middleweight, welterweight, for sure. But is it frustrating in a division that doesn't have that much depth to sit there on the sidelines and watch all these other guys compete, guys that you've either beaten or you believe you could beat that are getting, that are moving up past you in the rankings potentially? Here's what Travis had to say about that.
Yeah, life goes on. You know what I mean? And that's the tough part. And that's the frustrating part is, I'm sitting here and, I'm waiting for action to happen. But at the same time, just not knowing where you fit. You know what I mean? Not knowing maybe who your next opponent could be. There's so many ways that we could take it. And that's the tough part. That's the, like, sometimes I can't even watch because, I've put so much into this sport. And like I said, I've only been in the UFC for 4.5 years now, training for 5.5. Everything that I have, I've put into the sport. So it's tough to sit here and watch other guys like go out there and fight and do what I love to do. And it's a rough one.
Definitely rough. As you said, life goes on. But he is one of those guys that is able to spin many negatives in life into a positive. And the one thing I proposed to him was, well, you do have time off. It is the summer. Did you not spend more time with your boys? That's got to be a positive thing.
Yeah, but this is also my first summer since fighting that I've had with my kids, able to go camping. Both my kids caught their first fish from start to finish. We went up in the mountains and camped and fished, and you know, just seeing their progression, them finally being able to have a dad during those times, you know, like whenever I'm home, it's usually during the school year. So it's like, you know, I'm soccer mom, soccer dad, you know what I mean? Picking them up and dropping them off and doing this stuff. But this summer I was able to, you know, do dad stuff, you know, and it was quite the summer.
So the interview after that continued on to other segments for UFC Central, the television side, where we did some predictions on some bouts that you'll see Travis probably later on breaking down some of these scraps. But a reminder, he's taking on Brendan Schaub, UFC 181, Saturday, December 6th at the Mandalay Bay Event Center, headlined by the middleweight championship of the world, Chris Weidman, taking on Vitor Belfort. And then after the interview, we start swapping pictures in terms of our kids. Well, he's got more than one. I got one. He's got, you know, I think two boys. And you know, talking about fishing, I showed him a picture. It was actually the picture that was on my iPhone, the screensaver, not the screensaver, but the wallpaper. Whenever your phone goes off, whatever, and you click the button, it's that one picture that you see. And it was my son and I holding up a fish that he had caught by him, well, pretty much by himself, because Travis had mentioned that his kids had caught a fish from start to finish. My son, 3.5, he can't really put on a hook, and I don't want him putting on a hook by himself. I did it for him and casted out the line, and Gabe put the line in his hand and he started reeling it in, and obviously not having experience or having the motor skills to reel in a rod in terms of having a rhythm or momentum or trying to do tricks, he was just reeling it in, and it was sort of jerky, and then wham, that fishing rod went down, and then I said, keep trying, don't lose it, keep trying, buddy, and he reeled it right up. He's like, daddy, hold the line. I grabbed the line and he caught himself this beautiful bass. I was just blown away. I'm like, wow, he caught this. I started taking pictures, and Travis and I are showing pictures, and some of the fish Travis's kids were catching were awesome. So really good experience being a dad and doing that kind of stuff there. But good for Travis. He had the summer off, but now he's got to get ready. He's got to take on Brendan Schaub in that scrap at UFC 181. It's going to be a great card. Hopefully get out there later this year. Absolutely love going to Vegas, as I always mention. It is my second home, but it is what it is. But first things first, thanks again to Travis Brown, to the UFC PR staff for giving us these interviews, and of course, Carlos Barza and Jessica Penne for donating their time. A great time in Sacramento. Great interviews. Thank you very much to everyone that was listening. Good time, and we'll see what happens next week, because there's so much happening in the world of mixed martial arts. Don't forget to tune in to Sportsnet 360 for UFC Central, and follow me up on Twitter at Showdown Joe, Instagram at Showdown Joe, Facebook at Showdown Joe. Much changes are coming in the future. Stay tuned. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.